Is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty? My soul doth long and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied. Within your presence, I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day your courts, better is one day your house, better is one day your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day your courts, better is one day your house, better is one day your courts than thousands elsewhere, than thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask, and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. For here my heart is satisfied. Within your presence, I see beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day your courts, better is one day your house, better is one day your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day your courts, better is one day your house, better is one day your courts than thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit is water for my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Once again to me, I will draw near to you, will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, than thousands elsewhere.
Praise God. Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and savior. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, but I cannot stand, so I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and savior. No, I cannot stand, so I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and savior. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need.
Brother Greg, that's all I got.
Aren't you glad that we can worship the Lord? Brother Corey's he's pushing through there. He's got a sore throat there. But aren't you glad that we can worship the Lord in spirit and truth? Amen? Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord with you. It's such a blessing when we get to come together and just worship our God. We got several out. Some not feeling well, some on a little vacation. So, but you're here and I'm here. That's all that matters. Amen. And we ask the Lord's blessing on those who are traveling and keep them safe. And those who need a touch in body, we speak healing to them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. If you would, open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Before we open there, I'd like for Brother Jason, he done such a good job filling in last week. And I appreciate him so much. To put Acts 21:39 on the screen. Acts 21:39. We're going to be, this is an epistle that we're going to look at this morning in the book of Galatians, as I just said. It's written to the church, and it's written by the Apostle Paul. And I wanted us just to see Paul as he's given his testimony in that 21st chapter of the book of Acts. He's telling a little bit about who he is and where he's from. You know, and I wanted us to have that in our heart as we start reading these verses of Scripture. Look what he says in verse 39. But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus. I find it interesting. You know, Tarsus means flat basket. And remember, after Saul, after he become Paul, after he was struck down on the road to Damascus, you know, they tried to kill him, and he had to be let down out of a basket to keep his life. I find that interesting how where we're from and how God uses all those things to help teach parables and things out of our life. A city in Sicily, a citizen of no mean city. In other words, this city is very noble. It's profound. It has importance. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And so, you know, we won't continue that, but I want you to think about that as he's given that testimony there, that's kind of what we're looking at in the book of Galatians this morning. So Galatians chapter 4, you bear with me as we lay a foundation. What's on my heart this morning, I want us to talk about the Savior's seed line or the Savior's bloodline. You know, from the foundation of the world, our Father, the Lord God Almighty, He had a plan, and He showed us Old Testament types of sacrifices and the shedding of blood that would push back, roll back our sins, and keep us in covenant with Him. Thank God for that. But now He's bringing us in this dispensation of grace, this New Testament time, where we have a blood that doesn't just push back the sins, but it washes them away forever. And so we're going to look at the seed line or the bloodline of our Savior. So we'll look at that. The Scripture tells us that Jesus was to come and He would be the seed of the woman. He would be the seed of Abraham, but He would be the seed or the Son of God. And so that's what we're going to look at, those three points this morning. So Galatians chapter 4, let's start in verse number 1. When you're there, say amen. Now I say that an heir, as long as he or she is a child, they differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors under the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage, we were enslaved under the elements, the rudiments of the world. But when the fullness of time, when the chronos time of God was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. There's that seed we're talking about. Made of a woman, made under the law. Why did He come? Verse 5. To redeem, to ransom, to buy back them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions by faith, the adoptions of sons, become sons and daughters of the Most High God. At verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Finally, verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. 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 Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for honoring the word. Once again, thank you for your presence here this morning. I'm so glad to see Mary Ann. I wish you'd been here last Sunday. I needed your help. We was ministering out of Psalms 119 about the fourth and the fifth letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the Daleth, is that right? And Heth, okay? And I could have used your help. We had a good service, though. We had a good time, but you were missed. Glad that Brother Rodney's here. He's always in the house of the Lord somewhere. If he's not here, don't you think he's not in the house of the Lord? Because he is. And I'm thankful for his faithfulness. Amen. Glory. All right. So let's look at some things this morning. I want you to be blessed. I want you just to leave here so encouraged. I just feel so encouraged being in the presence of the Lord with people of like faith, with people who love God. And it's so nice to just, you know, don't you just wish you could just almost stop time and just stay right here together? I know we can't because we're supposed to go out there, but I need it. Brother Jerry, I need to be in with people who love one another, you know, because the world, they don't have this love of God. It's hard sometimes. But aren't you glad that we can be filled up with the love of God this morning and we can walk in that all the time? So let's look at this. Notice what he said there in these verses of Scripture. I love it. It says that starting in verse 4 there, reread it again. But when the fullness of time, when the time come forth, you know, we look at the time between Adam and Abraham, and then we look at the time between Abraham and Christ, and now we're waiting on the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Word of God to come to pass. But everything is going to come to pass. Because God's got a time. This word here is chronos. It's a time just like your watch. But he's also got a kairos time. He's got a set time for everything in your life. And so you're here, yes, because it's the day that we come to the house of God to worship. But I also believe that it's more than that. You're here because the Spirit of God brought you here to be able to hear something that will encourage you and just show you exactly who you are. But he said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law. So I love how we have this assurance that what God is doing, he's building a family. You know, the same Apostle Paul that we was listening to there in Acts 21, the same one who the Spirit of God moved on to write this epistle right here. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, he said that you and I, being Gentiles, we had turned and we were living in this world. We had no hope. And he said, but the plan of God through the promises of the Messiah was he was going to bring Gentile and Jew together. And he tells us in that second chapter that we could be one. Yeah. We would be one body. And we'd have one faith, amen? And all of that wonderful things that God has designated and ordained to happen, it's going to happen. So there's division out in the world, but you and I, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Come on, we're of God. And so we can have unity one with another, and we can use the great revelation of God's Spirit in our life, his love overflowing in our heart to bring that same unity to those people who are without. But let's look at this just a little bit. Let's see how God brings everything. His word is never divided. It's always unified. So hold your place here in Galatians 4, and let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's go to the beginning. And you know these verses of Scripture right here, but we have this first prophetic utterance of what the Apostle Paul is ministering to us there. In Genesis chapter 3, we have the trouble of the serpent coming in the garden. And we have Adam and Eve transgressing, or Eve transgressing. She didn't know what she was deceived. Adam just followed along. Scripture tells us that. But so God had to make a plan for him. So look at, for sake of time, look at verse let's just start reading. We have Adam blaming Eve, and Eve blaming everything goes back to God. Adam putting the blame on somebody else. But look at verse 14. Let's start. It said, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life." Now notice what he says in verse 15, God the Father. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So here we have the first messianic promise, prophecy of a Messiah coming through the bloodline, through the seed line. So I love it. Now, I want you to be so encouraged this morning. You may have made mistakes in your life. I can't speak for you, but I know that I have made mistakes. But my God, God the Father, He loves us so much, He can take our mistakes and He can work through those mistakes to bring the Messiah, to bring the Anointed One, to bring the fulfillment of all the Old Testament that is concealed into the New Testament that is revealed. So it doesn't matter what has happened in your life, in my life. Every day is a new day in the Lord. Every day is a new day of possibility. And so hope and confidence. So don't let the enemy swallow you up in the moment. Come on, he'll want to get you concentrating on what didn't work out, what went wrong, what mistake might have manifested itself in your life, in my life. But we've got to hold on because this is so exciting to me. God said, just imagine this. Look at whatever mistake that has happened in your life. And imagine God speaking to your mistake the way he done here through to Eve. He said, listen, through you, Eve, I'm going to bring my promise. See, the devil thinks that everything that he can do in your life and my life as the cunning one, as the most subtle beast of the field, that he can destroy you and I. But God can turn everything for our good, right? That's what Romans 8:28 tells us. 8:26. He'll turn everything for our good. When we love the Lord and we're called according to his purpose, he can make a turn on that. And that's what he's doing right here. So he said, in the middle of this thing that looks like it's brought, yes, it's brought death, it's brought heartache, but out of it, I'm going to bring life. I'm going to bring hope. I'm going to bring confidence. And I just love that our Father has the ability to work in our lives and to bring exactly what we need in the process of time. See, that's what he said, the Apostle Paul there. He said, in the process of time, God done this. So don't get swallowed up in the moment. Wait, because guess what? That second hand is going to change. That hour hand is going to change. Come on. This week is going to turn into next week. Next month's going to turn into next month. We got a new year coming. Amen. And I tell you, when we serve our Father with all of our heart, we're in a place, in a position where we don't have to fail, but we can always overcome. Because God doesn't judge it the way mankind does. God judges us, thank Him. I thank Him, I praise Him, on a curve. And that curve is by His promises. Aren't you excited about that? Man, they'll try to keep us down. Mankind will. But God won't. He's always trying to grab us. So once again, look at it again. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So I want you to know what we've got to do. We've got to take this promise, and we've got to say, okay, something happened. It separated me from God for a moment of time, but God made a promise of a Messiah that would allow me to come back to him and come back into a place and a position of right standing. And so here's the seed of the woman, the bloodline of the woman, we could say. Here's this seed. And so how do I apply that? So turn with me to Romans chapter 16. And this same apostle, Paul, he gave us this epistle as well. And look what he says starting in verse 17. Romans 16, 17. By the Spirit of God, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them, take aim at them. This is a Greek word, scopio. It means to fine-tune your ability to be able to see. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid, shun them. Now stay with me as we lay this foundation. So in this world, you're going to have things that's going to try to divide you from God's promises, from God's best, from God's people. And so what you and I have got to do, we've got to come back and we've got to see by the Spirit of God, we can have a revelation of the Word of God, and the Word will show us the truth about every situation. And when it shows us the truth, that's the truth that makes us free, where we're not dependent upon somebody else. We're not limited by somebody else. Come on, nobody can put you in chains. You're free this morning. And so you've got to live like it. Now stay with me. Verse 18. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly by good words and fair speeches, and they deceive the hearts of the simple. This is exactly what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve, they had everything they needed, and they walked in the cool, the ruach. They walked in the Spirit of God in the cool of the day. They walked with God the Father. But yet here come the deceiver, and he brought deception, and he brought a dividing line between them. And there was deception there. But notice what happens when you and I come back and we hear the message and we obey it. Verse 19, for your obedience, your attentive hearkening, you're hearing what this Bible says, what the Word of God says to you more than anything else. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would not have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. Why? Verse 20. Here's what happens. This is what that prophetic utterance was talking about in Genesis 3:15. And the God of peace shall bruise. Aren't you glad? Jesus, his heels were bruised, but he crushed the head of the serpent. That one who brings division in your life, that one that brings division in my life, that one that tries to separate us from God's best, God's promises. We've got to see that he lost his head. That means the rule, the ability to rule and reign. See, I once was under the bondage to this deceptive one. I was in bondage to sin. I was enslaved to the things of this flesh. I wanted what I wanted in the way I wanted it continually, and I put God out of the picture. And I couldn't come out of that because when it means to be enslaved, it means I was in total bondage to the elements of this world. But in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, made of a woman, the seed. The problem that looked like was going to destroy was the answer that the Messiah come through. Hallelujah. Notice what happens. For your and the God of peace shall, verse 20, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen. So by the grace of God, now I see what the Bible says. The Bible says that when I get born again, when I believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, the Messiah, the one that come through the seed of the woman, when I believe that, then I am baptized by the Spirit of God. I'm actually placed into the body of Christ. And now as his feet were bruised, but he crushed the head of the serpent, I can walk in the same victory of the Son of God. I can walk in that place, Brother Rodney. I can walk because it's not me doing the walking. I'm walking as he empowers me, as he leads me, as he directs me. And I'm walking on top of the thing that wants to kill me, that wants to stop me, that wants to keep me in deception. And it's all because God was so much smarter than this fallen entity. Come on, the Bible says in Ezekiel 28 that Lucifer, he was the bright star. He was the one that was supposed to point to the Messiah. But no, he got full of pride. And he fell because of pride. But he was the most beautiful created being ever. But he fell because of that pride. And now he hates you and I because you and I, we can be redeemed. We can be bought back. But judgment's done come on him. And so he's trying to hurt God by hurting you. So this morning, I've got to see. Now, wait a minute. I've got a promise here. And this promise is that through the seed line, the bloodline of the woman, I can be redeemed. I can be bought back. And I can take all of my shortcomings. I can take all of my problems and I can lay it down just like even Adam did, like they did there in the garden. And I can see God turn it under the Messiah, something good. Isn't that exciting? That's for us. Amen. All right. So, when we read this and we get it in our heart, we get to thinking about it through this bloodline. This is what I have, so I need to start allowing that to be so real to me that I don't let anything move me from what the Bible says. So I come back, and so I see this. I see the prophecies that what God said in the Old Testament come to pass in the New Testament. I see it's for me. So I need to start building my faith in that direction. So we see that Jesus was of the seed of the woman. Let's look and let's see that he's also the seed of Abraham. So let's go back to Genesis. This time let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Look at verse number 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, and of course this is before God changed his name to Abraham, and you know we talk about it all the time. He went from being elevated father because he had a little pride in his life, is what we can gather from what his name means, to Abraham, to the father of many nations. And he's the father of many nations because through his bloodline, through his seed line, the Messiah was prophesied to come. Amen. And you and I are here because of the father of faith. All right. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. You and I, we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere as God shows us. We may not be leaving a physical location, but we're leaving the old things behind, the old way of life, the old understanding. We're getting out of the old and we're coming into the new. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Come on, is this not true? Abraham, the father of faith, the one who took God at his word, and God showed him how you can call those things that be not as though they were. And he, every time after God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, every time he went somewhere, I'm the father of many nations. I don't have a child yet, but God said, I'm the father of many nations. And so I'm going to say what God says. I'm an overcomer, Brother Rodney. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. But I have the victory today through Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm blessed in all spiritual blessings from heavenly places in Jesus. Amen. That's the truth. So I say what God says. I live in that. I live by that. But look at verse 3. God says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, Abraham, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Woo! Oh, glory. See, we need each other. We've got a whole bunch of division in this world, and we've even got erroneous teaching even within the church, that the church has replaced the Jewish people. No. We're all one. We need all the 12 tribes of Israel, and we need all the Gentiles to do what the Bible said, to come together. Come together in God the Father. God made each one of us, and He made each one of us special. And everyone has their own unique calling, their own unique personality, their own unique ability to serve Him like nobody else. So when we come together and we see what God has created, the impossible becomes possible. It's swallowed up. All right, so this morning I want you to see this. This is the bloodline of Abraham. So we're in Genesis 12. Turn over to Genesis 18. Now, for sake of time, here's where... the angel of the Lord comes to Abraham. And look, let's start in verse 9. Genesis 18:9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. This is how Abraham was going to be a blessing. This is the bloodline, the seed line coming through Abraham and Sarah. Thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. You know, sometimes we hear the promises in this Bible, and they seem so far from where we're at that we, you know, we got to laugh at it. We got, God, I believe you, but boy, That looks so far. That looks so far out of my reach. That looks so far down the road in my life. How can I ever get there? But see, God's a God that's out of time. He's outside of time. And so you and I, as we're limited by the time and space, God's in that place, in that position where He's done declaring the end from the beginning. So he can see that. And so we've got to start looking and seeing that through that mindset. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Come on, this is a miracle. We know the story very well. You know the story very well. And the Lord said unto Abraham, saying, what did he say? Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? See, the devil wants you and I to operate through the flesh. He wants us to stay limited by what we know we can do and what we can accomplish. But see, when you and I put that mindset down and we take on the mindset of this Bible, all of a sudden, there's nothing that's impossible. Amen. Come on, there's nothing impossible to the person that believes. If we'll just simply believe. So can you imagine here? This is why that they're called the father and the mother of faith, if you would. Look at verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall. Come on, the strongest affirmation you and I can have in the English language. Sarah shall have a son. God's promises are for you and I this morning. They shall come to pass if we'll just take God at His word, if we'll hold on to them. So what are we doing? Why are we covering this? Because we're looking at the promises of God about the Savior. He come through the woman, but He comes through Abraham. Yeah. And this morning, you and I, we can believe that just as sure as what God said in times past, if it hasn't come to pass in your life yet, it will. God cannot, the Bible says in the book of Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he should repent. God, he doesn't lie. He tells you and I the truth. So can you get this in your heart this morning? Now turn over to Genesis 22. Now in Genesis 22, we got the greatest story. We got the first time in the whole Bible that worship is mentioned. Come on, in the Word of God, when you've got something that's mentioned first, you've got the principle of the law of first mention. So look at verse number 5, Genesis 22:5. This is where Abraham has taken Isaac and they're going to the top of Mount Moriah. And look what it says. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, we know the story because you and I have read it. We understand that God is sending, he's testing Abraham, not tempting. He's testing Abraham. And Abraham loves his son. He loves Isaac. He loves laughter. But he loves God more. And so, see, sometimes in your life, the devil tries to tell you that you don't love God like you really do. And he tries to work in us and through us and say, well, now, if you really love God. But God lets us go through little things so we know we love God. Amen. Because he first loved us. He put that love in us. And so can you imagine here that this is a prophetic decree of faith. This is why Abraham, one reason why he's called the father of faith. He said, we're going to go worship, but we're going to come again. See, this is a type of God giving his son, giving Jesus for you, for me. And so Abraham knew that if he had to offer up his son, that God would raise him up. See, God's life. God doesn't understand death. Satan, Hebrews 2:14 tells us that Satan is death. But God has no part in death. God is a God of life. Jesus said, I am come that you might not only have life, but you might have it. Woo! Okay. Now notice, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. Verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. See, God knew that you and I had to have the Messiah. We had to have the anointed one, the one who was sent to save the world. He knew that. And so this is the type and a shadow of that. So the Savior come through Eve, that bloodline, that seed line. The Savior comes through Abraham and Sarah, through this bloodline. And so all of this ties together when we realize that there is no division in our God, that we serve a God that has a multifaceted family. And we're going to be together throughout all the eons of time, because time as we know it is going to cease. It's going to stop. And we're going to be with the God that is outside of time, worshiping Him, loving on Him, Him loving on us. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? It's going to be wonderful. And I'm going to get to serve Him there. You're going to get to serve Him there without this flesh getting in my way. Now, your flesh may not bother you, but it bothers me sometimes. And I've got to really work at not letting it separate me from what God has for me. All right. So you see what's happening here. Now, notice, look what happens. He drop down to verse 13 for a second time. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So God provided. God provided what Abraham needed. This morning, whatever you need in your life, God the Father is just that. He's your Father. He wants everything that He has for you, but it comes through the bloodline. See, you got to know who you are. I got to know who I am. I'm not of this world. You're not of this world. We're not of the devil. Amen. Remember, the devil has a seed line. We read about it in Genesis 3:15. So you got to know who you are and know who you qualify from. I'm qualified because God qualified me. Now, I didn't qualify myself. So here's this bloodline. Here's this seed line. And notice what happens. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, which is to say this: in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So when you and I, when we're looking to the mountain of the Father, when we're always climbing up to a new place of worship, that's what that we're doing. Abraham was climbing to a new place of worship. I hope I get to preach on that sometime in the near future. And we're going to take this to what Jesus done on the Mount of Transfiguration and tie it together. But I want you to know that you can climb higher this morning than you've ever been before because you believe in that sacrifice. You see it tied together. And when you see it tied together, there is nothing that can tear it apart. So let's go back to the book of Galatians, this time Galatians chapter 3. Let's see where the Apostle Paul is. It talks about what we just read. This time I think it's down about verse 16. Well, let's start in verse 13. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, why did he do that? That the blessing of Abraham, that the understanding of this bloodline, this seed line, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of them, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, a man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Notice what he says, verse 16. Now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So what we just read about the Messiah coming through Abraham, that's what he's talking about. It's the seed. Through Abraham, the seed of God, the Messiah, come. He was born. That you and I could place our faith in Him. So this morning, you and I, we can say, wait a minute, I was cursed because I was a sinner. I was a sinner. I was dominated by sin. I was controlled by sin. And so I was under the curse because the law, which is, it shows me what sin is. See, without the law, I don't know what's right or wrong. But God gave me the law to show me what was right and wrong. And then he gave me the answer to the law. See, since I couldn't live it, there had to be one that would come through the bloodline that could live it. And that one was the promised Messiah, the anointed one of God. He come and he walked in the same body as I am, yet in all temptation without sin. So he was made a curse. He was hung on a tree outside the city of Jerusalem for me. He died in my place. He died in your place this morning. And so I have this assurance because the bloodline is coming through the woman, just like God promised. It's coming through Abraham, just like God promised. So I can bank on the word. The word will never fail. The word will never come up short. So your hope, your confidence this morning is in the whole word of God. Nothing else. Okay, quickly, let's look. Go with me to Psalm chapter 2. Let's see how that the seed comes through the through God, through the bloodline of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. In Psalm chapter 2, look starting in verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That's what the world is doing right now. The world is making plans to have a new world order, have a one world government system. They're doing everything they can to bring it in place. And they're trying to do it without God. They want to be their own God. Verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. So we got the Lord God, we've got the Father, we've got his anointed. We've got the Messiah. Verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Aren't you glad that you and I were not under the wrath of God? Amen. The Messiah took, the anointed one took God's wrath for you and I. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Verse 6. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. God the Father said, I've set my king on the holy hill of Zion. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us down about verse 22, that's the church. Yes, it was a mountain. It was in the Old Testament, but it was a type and a shadow because what we have in this earth age, we have in the heaven age. Everything that's here is a type and a similitude of what's in heaven, in the eternal, if you would. So we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit sitting on this place, position of power in heaven, but they can sit on the throne of our heart this morning. Isn't that exciting? Verse 7, I will declare the decree the Lord has sent unto me. This is what God the Father said to this anointed one, this Messiah. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, Paul tried his best to bring it in a way that I could understand it in the book of Hebrews. If you look, make a note, Hebrews 1:5, Hebrews 5:5, and you can study that out, trying to tie this together. But can you imagine? God said, I've got a plan for you. You're going to be you're my son, but you're going to be my Messiah. You're going to be the anointed one that saves. Look what he says in verse 8. He says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. In other words, because of the whole, all of mankind had sinned, we were under ownership of this fallen nature of the old man, which was orchestrated by the serpent from the beginning, the subtle beast of the field. And so we were in a place where we were enslaved to the rudiments of the elements of this world. But God said, as he's talking to his son, he's talking to his Messiah, said, I'll give them to you if you'll just ask me. Jesus come. He come and he fulfilled the word of God that we could be bought back. We could be redeemed because of that. So we have the promise here. We have this assurance here. We have this truth here. So let's take it to the New Testament. Go with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. This is how God doesn't get in a hurry. See, the devil wants to always push you and I and drive us. God, he works slowly and methodically. The devil wants to get me to make a quick decision or make a quick jump. But with God, he's always just saying this one step at a time. Just look unto me. It's okay. And you don't have that heartache. Look at starting in verse 26. Luke 1:26. To remember, God the Father was talking to his son and talking about what he was going to be able to do. And so let's see how the bloodline comes from, the seed line comes from God the Father, and it comes into us now in this time of grace. Luke 1:26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. What was his message? Who was he going to? To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor." You found grace with God. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth" what? "A son, and shall call his name Jesus." So remember what we just read in Psalm chapter 2, if we'd had time to cover the whole psalm, but we didn't. It's talking about this seed line, this bloodline coming from God the Father, coming through his plan and his will to save us. "Thou shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." Verse 32, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son," mark that down, "of the highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This is what is prophetic for you and I to be able to grab a hold of. "Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" That's the way it is with you and I. But before we met this son, this savior, this Messiah, we thought, what are we going to do? I don't know nobody can help me. Man couldn't deliver me. Right. You know, we wrap our arms around each other and we try to help each other the best we can. But when we've got a sin problem, there's only one that can help us. And the angel answered and said unto her, verse 35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest." So we got God the Father, got the God the Spirit coming together and bringing forth God the Son. "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son." Mark it down, the Son of God. So here, what have we looked at this morning? We looked at the promises of the bloodline, of the seed line coming through Eve, coming through Abraham. And now we recognize and realize that Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is the Son of God. And because he has been born, you and I, we have the fulfillment of the promises of God, that we can be born again. John 3:16, right? You know, "For God so love the world that he begotten, that whosoever," say, "I'm a whosoever, shall believe in him, shall not, but have." That's ours this morning. So we see from old to new that God, he's not confused. And God, what he says, he will do. He will accomplish. He will bring it to pass. Romans 5:8 said, it says, "While I was yet a sinner, that God demonstrated his love for me, that Jesus Christ died in my place." Yeah. See, the Bible's real clear. The God said in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, the soul that sinneth, it has to what? Die. The wages of sin is death. So I had to have a Messiah. I had to have an anointed one. I had to have a promise from the Word of God showing that the old and the new come together, that are in perfect harmony. I had to have that in my life. And when I got that, I was in this place and position. Let's close in the epistle of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is what happens to you and I. Verse 23. It says, but being born again, you and I born from above, being born again, not of corruptible seed, talking about the seed of God, coming down through from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, how did Jesus come through Mary? The Holy Ghost overshadowed her. She heard the Word and she believed. And that Word become alive inside of her. This morning, if you and I, if we will just hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, if we'll just hear and say, Lord, I may not understand all this, but I believe. I believe that you love me. I believe that you've got a plan for me. I believe that I'm not meant to be on the belly all the days of my life. That was the curse of the serpent one. I'm meant to walk up in the Lord. I'm meant to be a child of God, that let God be my Father. I'm meant to walk in that victory. If we'll just simply believe that and take Him in His Word, the Holy Spirit will overshadow us. Then it won't be words on a page, but it'll be words written on the epistle. Your heart is the epistle. Come on, a living epistle. God wants you and I to stand up. Paul went to great detail to teach us how we can be living epistles in this fallen world, Brother Larry. That way men can read your life when they may not ever open a Bible. Verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth away. But, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word is Jesus. Remember John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And then down in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Him, He's full of grace and He's full of truth. See, the Old Testament is full of truth, but I can't receive it until I get the grace. The grace is what brings it to me. And the grace is the Messiah, the anointed Son of God that brings salvation to us. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you. Father, I'm so thankful for every person that's here. Lord, I'm in awe that you would allow us to join in this building this day in your name. I'm in awe that you would bring these people together where we could stand and sit before you, that we could worship, that we could honor you in your presence, that you could bring revelation to us of who we are and how much you love us, that you love us with an everlasting love, that nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you for that. Lord, let each person see that out of the deepest struggle that they're in this morning, that you can bring a promise, the promise of your word, the promise of the anointing that destroys every yoke. You tell us through the prophet Isaiah 10:27, that you have an anointing that just doesn't break yokes, but it destroys yokes where they cannot be replied to our life. Lord, let that come into each one of us this morning. Let us receive, touch and draw. Let the doors of our heart be opened by the open door, the one that you said that by the Spirit that it could not be shut. Lord, let it be. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and just make yourself an altar here at this physical altar or at your chair, however you choose to do it? Would you just let the Spirit of God talk to you? Let God the Father just reveal how much He loves you and how much He has for you this morning. And if you would allow us to, we would love to pray with you, bind together anything and everything that you're struggling with to because there's something about in the prayer of agreement, the prayer of unity, coming together and just letting the love of God take over. Would you let us do that with you this morning? We love you so much. We're thankful for you. We want you to know how mindful we are of you. And we're thankful for your prayers. And we're so grateful to be able to pray with and for you.